chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I believe we're there. I believe that it is perilous times today. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It's hard. That's perilous, fierce. Notice he describes these trends. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents. You see that now, blasphemers and disobedient to parents. And you see that today. Parents are not the ruler anymore. Children are the rulers. Parents don't raise the children. The children make the parents do what they want them to do. Most of a parent in the day is the child manipulates the parent. And it's our fault. We teach them to do that and we don't even realize it. And so the child today is disobedient. I was watching a program this past week about children. I mean, just slap their mama in the face. Don't want to do nothing. That's the trend today that's going on in this world. And it's a sign of the days that's coming. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You love pleasure, you love fulfilling the lust of your flesh more than you love the Lord. Now think with me on that. What would you rather do? Serve the Lord? Or to go to some sporting event and have a big time and have a pleasure. What would you rather do? Be here studying the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, trying to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, or be out serving yourself, fulfilling the lust of your life? You say, well, I'm here. Well, that's great. But there's a lot that's not. But he said they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now verse 5 is my text. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. And these people that have a form of godliness, he said, for of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now here they are. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the people that's religion has blinded. And their faith is in that religion instead of in the Lord. Now, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I want you to look with me just for a moment. Look in 2 Kings. And notice in 2 Kings, in verse 24. Now to have a form of godliness, and this is the great example of this. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and Cutra, from Ava and Hamath and Sepharvaim and place them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. He took the children of Israel out of the land, and he brought certain men from different parts of the land and other parts and put them in that land. You all understand? And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake unto the king of Assyria, and saying, the nations which thou hast removed, that would be Israel, and placed in the cities, the Sepharvaeans and the different lands, placed in the cities of Samaria, know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry hither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, one of the priests of Israel, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now verse 29, howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans have made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwell. So they put them gods of their own nations in the places of worship. And he talks about the gods of Sepharvaim in verse 31. Verse 32, here's the four. So they feared the Lord. You see that? They feared the Lord, and they called the Lord their God, that idol. They got the idols and they got the gods of the land in the places of worship, and they said, we fear the Lord, the God of the land. Notice what he said, and they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of lust of them priests of high places, sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They feared not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and the commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. In other words, he told them not to fear the other gods. They brought the priests, these people there. They had their own gods. They had their own religion. They had their own denominations. And they said, this is the Lord. And they did not keep the commandments of the Lord. In other words, the Word of God had nothing to do with what they're doing. That's a form of godliness, folks. And that's what we got in the world today. We got all hundreds of different religions, and all of them say, we fear the Lord. But when you nail it down to the Word of God, you find out it's a form of godliness. And that's a trend that we're in the last days, and religion is rampant, and idolatry is just on the move, and folks, the whole world is stooped in idolatry, and you come along and preach this Bible, rightly divided, and they say you're a kook. You're not with the times. You're outdated. You're archaic. You're old-fashioned. Well, I might be, but I do know this. There's one book that God Almighty wrote, and that one book is a King James Bible that He preserved, and that's what counts. Now, I want you to notice something about the power of God. And we're living in a form. Power. I looked it up in the old 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It's the faculty of moving. This is power of moving or producing a change in something. The ability or strength to move something. I know we had down there behind the wall, they cleared it off. And we wanted to get that behind that our shed cleared off. And they was there was pretty good sized trees in there, poplar and some other. And so finally the bull front end loader, the bulldozer come in there. And I got to watch him, and he come up to that tree, you know, and he bumped that tree, and that whole tree began to shake, and finally, I mean, he pushed and down it went. And I thought to myself, that's power. I mean, you see cars hit trees and it don't even budge them. But here comes this machine up, and he begins to nudge it, and the whole thing begins to shake, and whoom. That's power. That's the ability, the strength to move something, to change something. And that one machine had the power to change that landscape there and move them big trees down. That's power. That's the same power that we're talking about. It's a life-changing power. The power of God. The ability. Now there are two types of power. There's active power, and that is the ability which moves the body. You have two powers. You have, you've heard the saying, he raised his arm of his own power. That's the ability to move your body. Then there's speculative power. That's to judge, remember, or to think, have an idea. You think about it before you move. That's power. And you get types of power. Moving power, two types. Active, speculative. One has to do with actual moving. The other has to do with thinking. There are moving power and sustaining power. To hold that that's been changed. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. Power. Everybody wants the power. But what they're talking about, the power of God falling, or the power of this. We want the power of God. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get it. And I'm going to tell you where it's at. And this power is harnessed. It's right in your lap. Look with me and look. First of all, turn to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, power. Now you'll notice people deny the power thereof. The religions of the world deny this power. They have a form of godliness. They have the outer shell of a godliness. They have the, you think, oh, that's representing God. And they talk about the Lord. They talk about what He did. They talk about God. But where's the power? This is the acid test to see whether or not they're really the Lord's. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the what? Power of God and the wisdom of God. Then Christ is the power of God. Where do I want to find the power of God? Christ. He's the power of God. Another thing. Look with me. Christ is the power of God, and through Him and His gospel, God displays His power and the authority that He has in giving a sacrifice. That's the moving power that God gave a sacrifice for your sins, and Christ died for your sin, and God's sustaining power and moving power is in that cross. And it's not in our power. I don't have no power. I couldn't keep myself saved 5 minutes. I don't have the power to stand against the wiles of the devil. But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, be strong. He said to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me just read it. Look what he said in Ephesians 6. So I'll get it right. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in what? The power of His might. Where is His might, Paul? How can I be strong in the Lord? It has to do with knowledge. It has to do with knowing something. It has to do with the armor of God. That armor has to do with knowledge. Folks, everything is based upon knowledge. Your power, you don't have no power. It's His power. I walk in His grace. It's His salvation. It's His word. It's His power. You know, up there on the mountain when the devil took Christ up there, Matthew chapter 4, and he tempted Him. Jesus Christ, every time Satan came with Him, as it is written, He responded with the Word of God. You know where your power is? It's in words. But that's the call. Turn with me to look. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Number 1. Look what he says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is that life changing force? What is that that changes lives? Is it joining a church? Is it keeping the commandments? Is it being baptized in water? What is that force that changes people's lives and makes them a new creature in Christ Jesus? It's the cross. I look at my salvation and I don't say what I did. The preaching of the cross is to them. The world looks at that and says, that's foolishness. Why you all talk about Him dying on a cross for, like you can't get to heaven no other way? That's what they think. Well, bless your heart, you can't get to heaven no other way. The preaching of the cross. But to us that are saved, we realize that's the power that changed my life. I couldn't do nothing in myself. I tried to live a holy life, and I couldn't. I needed help. Where did I get the help? I looked at the cross, and the cross is what so changed me. It's like back there in Genesis or Numbers. When they come out of Egypt, they got in there and they rebelled against the Lord, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. And they were biting them. And they were dying. And they couldn't do nothing about them. Now, if the Lord ever gets snakes after you, you're just a goner. That's like when He's... They went into battle over there, and the The Lord sent hell, and the Bible said there was more killed from the hell than there was from the battle. If God's dropping hell stones at you, you might as well just give up, stop, go. You're going to get hit. So they're out there, and every snakes is biting them, and they're dying, and they begin to cry to Moses. And Moses says, Lord, in praise. And the Lord said, okay, take a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and those that look to the pole shall be healed. Which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. The only way man can be healed from the sin that the serpent brought on him that destroys his life is to look to the cross. That's where the power's at. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, he said, verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, folks, the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation. And what is that gospel? He died, and he was buried, and he arose the third day according to the scripture. As Kevin read the verse in Romans 4, he was buried, he arose for our justification. He was delivered up. God delivered him up for our offenses. He died for our crimes. He died for our sins. And God raised him the third day by his power. And folks, that power works in you. Look in Ephesians and turn. Look in Ephesians chapter. Well, why are you there in Romans? Look in verse 4. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He said, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Brother, that took some moving force there. This man died. Jesus Christ died a literal physical death. You understand? He's dead. There ain't no way. He's dead. And they laid him out and they wrapped him up like a mummy wrapped up and laid him on that slab in that tomb and rolled the stone there. He's dead. There's got to be a moving force to get him up, and that's the power of God, and it's the same power that works in you. Now that's power. Oh, look, let's try it again. Look with me and I'll tell you what, before I go get too far ahead, turn back to Corinthians. And notice in second chapter of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're talking about power. Power of God. Notice in verse 4. Well, look at verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, what made the power? The power was in words, folks. And them words were the words of God. Hang on to Corinthians. Just turn the page down there and come over to chapter Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, notice in verse 12. In Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. Now you know what quick is. That's alive. You know, you fingernail down in the quick. you realize it's alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The Word of God is quick and is powerful. And Paul's preaching was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, the Spirit of God takes the words of God and works in you. Look in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You will see this power in you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice he said in verse... look down in verse 7. He's talking about the gospel in verse 3, be hid is hid to them that are lost. He's talking about the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the power of God. Look what he said in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, this transforming power of God that comes by the words of the gospel that transforms and moves people's life, that you know that that's of God because it's in your flesh. You have that treasure in earthen vessels, and that earthen vessels could no more save itself than the man on the moon. So that power is inside you, that you might recognize that power being of God. Look what he says there. Look in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. He said, by the word of truth, verse 7, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor, by dishonor, by evil report, good report is deceivers and yet true. And he's talking, and folks, he's talking about them, his ministry and all of that. The word of truth is associated with that power. Where is the power of God? It's in the gospel. It's in the preaching of the cross. You're seeing the power of God at work. God is aiding you. If you're here today lost, you've never been saved, God is giving you aid. He's giving you a chance. The power of God is being demonstrated in the cross and in the words of the gospel for you to be saved. It's that simple. Notice this pie again, Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Folks, don't let religion fool you. This book is all you need. I hear people talk about, well, God said this, God said that, God spoke to me, God talked to me. And I was in a class one time, and this man was talking about he'd had a prayer meeting and God audibly spoke to him, just like I'm speaking to you. God just spoke out to him. He was in prayer and he heard the voice and God spoke to him. I said, you heard him with your ears? Oh yeah, it was audible. And I'll never forget, he was talking about the baptism of the evidence of speaking in tongues, all that stuff. And I asked him, I said, do you know what the gospel is? And he said, yes, there's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you know I could not get that man to acknowledge the gospel being the cross? This man was a preacher. This man taught. This man preached. And talking about God talking to him in an audible voice. Listen to me, folks. God has already said everything He's going to say to you in a book. All you need is in that book. He wrote it down, preserved it for you, and sent men to preach it. This gospel. If you want to know how to get saved, there it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You want to know how to live as a Christian? He done told you in the book. You want to know how to treat your neighbor? He told you in the book. Everything you need is in that book. You want to know how to behave yourself in the house of God? He told you in the book. Why, He said, let all things be done in decent and in order. He said, if a couple of you want to preach, He said, do it by course, one at a time. Don't jump up. It's in here. God has told you everything. Everything you'll face, right here. There ain't no outside manifestation. I see these people talking about they got the power of God to heal. I was down at the mall, just walking around. June and them was in a store somewhere, and I just stand out there, and there's this young man, looked like a young man, and he was in some kind of special chair, and he couldn't move. And I thought to myself, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ could walk up to that young man and just pull him out of that chair. Wouldn't that be something? He spoke to me. He couldn't move. He just sort of smiled, spoke to him. And you don't really. And I spoke back and smiled. I started to say, and I thought, well, I can't say how you doing. I mean, I know how he's doing, and you know. But then I thought, well, you know, so I did. I said, doing all right? Yeah. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm a preacher of your gospel. I preach for you. But I don't have that power, Winston. I would have loved to walk over to that young man and said, be healed, man, and pulled him up out of there and he'd been healed. Jesus Christ could have done it. And these preachers have the audacity to stand up and talk about their power that they've got to heal. Well, why don't you roll somebody in there like that and let them heal him? I look about these people that are saved and they're struggling, lose everything they got. Maybe I read about when the hurricanes hit down here on the North Carolina coast and you know, the big floods and everything, and there was Christians that lost everything, and there they was. Where's the Lord at when all that was going on? Lost everything. Well, but to keep on serving the Lord. Why does things happen to us that happen to us? Because we don't have the power of God. Folks, we have the power of God. It's inside of us. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Well, go back and look in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. There's the knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of this book rightly divided, you don't know nothing about the power of God. You can jump pews. You can swing from the rafters. You can swing from the chandeliers. We don't have any, but you can swing. But if you don't know about the God and this book rightly divided, you have no knowledge of the power of God. It's in preaching. Look, he said, being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What power. Notice what he says in chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Folks, you have the power. Whatever God calls you to do, he gives you the power to do it. The force behind the child of God working is Christ, the power of God. Motivates us. Notice he says in verse 20. In verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Not in the church, in you. He can do above that we ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Folks, that's the power that Christendom, religion, denies. Denying the power thereof. You know what Paul said? What's the next statement? From such, turn away. I want to tell you something. I would not walk across a sidewalk to hear a man preach that preached the cross plus something else. You say, what I'm talking about? There's a lot of people believe they preach the cross, but you got to keep the law to be saved. Or you got to believe in the cross and keep the Ten Commandments, or you got to believe in the cross and be baptized and all that. You got to believe in the cross and do this and do that. No, no, no. The power of God is in the cross and what Jesus Christ did on that cross, plus nothing else. Now there ain't no other message to preach. One last verse, and I feel like I need to read that. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. David, we got time, haven't we? Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 17, Romans 16, 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now that's something, you know. What did they learn? They learned what Paul had preached and taught. And he said, avoid them. And that's something you think Paul said, go out and try to win them. No, he said, from such turn away and avoid them. Do you know why? Because the power's not in you, it's in the gospel. And if they don't hear the gospel, there ain't nothing going to change them anyway. Look on with me. He said in verse 18, "For they that are such serve not their own, our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Look in verse 25. "Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Do you know something? That gospel, it establishes you. Jesus Christ will, it's the preaching of the cross. To us, it's the power of God. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We know what changed our life. Religion don't. We know where we're going when we pass out of this life. The majority of religion don't. You ask them, you say, "Well, I hope so." "You going to heaven?" "Well, I hope I make it." There ain't no hoping about it. You either saved or you're lost. You've experienced the power of God in changing your life, or you hadn't. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know where that power's at. It's here. Thank you for being here, and you can go.